Morning, I'm Marty Moscoen. Welcome to Radio Times. The Pew Research Center for the People and the Press released an interesting report yesterday about the Democratic primary. They found that voters are less positive about Barack Obama and that he had lost support to Hillary Clinton. While Clinton had made gains on her opponent, her credibility has taken a hit. Race and class are playing a bigger role in the Democratic primary, with growing divides as voters choose between these two candidates. The center also found that 51% of Democrats and left-leaning independents believe this protracted primary is hurting the Democratic Party. The issues that Democrats say they want the candidates to address are, first, the economy, then Iraq, health care, energy and gas, jobs and unemployment, terrorism, debt and deficit, immigration, environment, and lastly, Social Security. Well, it's our weekly Friday conversation about presidential politics and the race to the White House. And we've got two guests who join us by telephone. Sean Wilentz is a professor of history at Princeton University. He's a contributing editor to The New Republic and a supporter of Hillary Clinton. His latest book is The Age of Reagan, A History, 1974 to 2008, and it will be published next week. Sean Wilentz, nice to have you with us on Radio Times. Good morning.
Marty, wonderful to be back with you.
Nice to have you back. Ron Walters joining us by telephone as well. He's a professor of political science, also director of the African American Leadership Institute at the University of Maryland. He served as deputy campaign manager for Reverend Jesse Jackson's two presidential bids. And in this election, he says he's leaning towards Barack Obama. His most recent book is Freedom is Not Enough, Black Voters, Black Candidates, and American Presidential Politics. Ron Walters, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well. Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Sean, let me begin with you and just take one of the, there's several interesting pieces, I think, in this Pew Research Center looking at the Democrats and Democratic voters. This notion that about half of those that are thinking of voting Democratic in the fall are worried that this protracted primary is going to hurt the party. Do you share that same concern?
No, I don't at all. I think the people who do are basically Obama supporters who would like to see the thing come to a conclusion. There's been reports in the press and lots of punditry and commentary saying that cannot possibly.
You know what, Sean? We need to somehow figure out how to fix your phone because you're...
Oh, can you hear me better
now?
Yeah,
you know, just use a louder voice make it work.
I'll go ahead.
That's okay.
I don't think that that's right, and I do think that many of the people who are supporting this would like to see Hillary leave because they'd like to see Obama get the nomination. You know, I don't think that the Democratic Party is being hurt by this. I think both candidates are being helped by this. The process is what it is. It'll end when it's supposed to end, and everyone will be able to pull together, and I think everyone will pull together when this is all said and done.
Well, let me get from you an answer to the same question, Ron Walters. Are you concerned about this primary hurting the Democratic Party?
Well, it could. I mean, when you look at what has come out with respect to the front runner, and that's Barack Obama, and these very racially charged comments linking him to Dr. Wright, and the high negatives that Hillary Clinton has. I mean, both of these things are playing very well among Republicans. And I think that when you look at the slide in the polls and the tightening of the race, it's relatively clear that these things have had some impact. Now, whether or not they have a lasting impact, that's to be seen. I think a lot of this polling really is polling the noise. On the Democratic side.
I agree with
when
that.
When the noise clarifies, and you have a candidate standing there challenging John McCain, I think you're likely to have a different polling result.
Well, Sean Willis, I know you want to jump in. Go ahead.
No, I agree with that. I complete with what Ron has to say. I mean, when a primary race is tough and as hard-fought as this one plays itself out, the polling is going to look the way it does, but the dust clears. And I think that when the dust clears, whichever candidate gets the nomination will be stronger for it, because a lot of the stuff that's come out now, better that it come out now than it come out with the Republican Party, you know, in the wings.
But you don't think, Sean, that the Republican Party isn't taking notes, so to speak, and getting
Party
ammunition?
Knows all of this. I don't know, I mean to speak over you, Marty, but the Republican Party knows very well about this stuff. The stuff about Reverend Wright was known a very long time ago, as far back as the time as when he didn't speak at Barack Obama's announcement. No one should be fooled into thinking the Republicans don't have their own opposition research going on. So it's better in some ways, and this is true for Clinton as well, although she's been vetted much more thoroughly over the last 12 years. But I don't think this is going to hurt the candidates. I think it can only help them in the long run.
And back to you, Ron Walters, and this, you know, raises the question about Barack Obama, his relationship with his pastor, and anyone following this, and hopefully people are understanding that he really took steps to distance himself even further from his former pastor based on things that his pastor said at the NAACP conference and also at the National Press Club. From your perspective, has he laid to rest questions about his former pastor?
Well, I think he should have. I mean, I think the people who probably still hold that against him weren't going to vote for him in the first place. And there may be some people on the fence who may be persuaded. But I think in the main, I don't know what else you can ask of him. He went as far as he could the first time when this was raised and said that he's not going to separate himself from his pastor. And then, of course, you had a number of other comments by Reverend Wright.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt then he had to do it. And so, I don't know, again, I don't know what else you can ask him to do. He separated himself. I would expect that this will play on in the media, and there will continue to be attempts to associate him with Reverend Wright. But I think that those people who are doing it have to also understand they are preventing the democratic process from working. Because really the discussion that ought to be going on is what's going on now with respect to subprime lending, people losing their houses, the economic situation falling apart, the war, a whole set of other issues that I think ought to be at the center of this election.
Do you think, though, in any way his relationship with Reverend Wright was a legitimate political campaign issue, Ron?
No, I don't. No. I mean, I think there's been a huge double standard here. You go back and look at the fact that Rudy Giuliani's priest, a grand jury accused it of having molested several children. Nobody asked Rudy Giuliani to leave his church. The same thing Mitt Romney had to say, well, I'm not leaving my church, and that laid it to rest. And yet his church had been accused of being racist. And these people who talked about John McCain, I mean, Reverend Hagee and others, that he associated with himself and said were his spiritual guide. You know, this has really been a huge double standard, and I think that the media really is implicated in that.
Well, let me turn back to you, Sean Willis. Do you see this as a double standard? And I do want to move on. There's much more to talk about, but since I have you both here, and it certainly was in the news earlier this week, do you see a double standard?
I actually don't see a double standard because I think that Senator Obama's connection with Jeremiah Wright was of a very particular kind that's different from the government that Ron has mentioned. But I also think that the speech that he's given the
different than Rudolph Giuliani.
Well, I think so. I think so, Ron. I do because you know people have all sorts of weird things, but this is a very particular church and it's a very particular, as you know, particular part of African American religious life. And he was hip to all of that. The problem is not about the church, actually. I think, and it's not about the relationship to the church. It's not even about Jeremiah Wright. The question goes to what happened in Philadelphia, in the speech in Philadelphia, which I think now is in tatters. And it's in tatters. This is a speech that was praised as the greatest thing since the Cooper Union speech by Abraham Lincoln. In that speech, Senator Obama said that he was no more disowned Jeremiah Wright than he would his own white grandmother. Well, now he has disowned Jeremiah Wright. And Jeremiah Wright said nothing at the National Press Club or at the NAACP that wasn't on those clips before. At one point, he can disown him. He can't disown him. At another point, he can. This goes to questions of credibility as well as judgment that have nothing in particular to do even with the content of these speeches. And I think that is what's disturbing.
Well, let me get you to respond to that, Ron Walters.
Well, I would disagree with that. Isn't that true that he said nothing at the National Press Club that wasn't on the clips before? The clips that the American people saw were only about 10 seconds, and they had to do with four or five words. And so that's exactly what Barack Obama was responding to. And that's what Dr. Wright was responding to. He was saying, look, these things have been excerpted out of a moral context in which I was speaking to my flock and out of a whole sermon. So read the whole sermon and even connect to what people were looking at the following sentence when he talked about killing innocent children. I mean, that was left out. So there was a lot left out, and he made some statements at the National Press Club that Barack Obama had to respond to. Now, again, let's be clear about calling for the separation, and who's managing this? It's not, as far as I can see, Hillary Clinton, and it's not, as far as I can see, John McCain. This is a media attack, and a lot of people feel in the black community that it's not just an attack on Reverend Wright, it's an attack on the black church and the style of preaching in the black church.
Sean, let me, though, understand, and Ron Walters made a comparison to Rudolph Giuliani and the Catholic Church and the scandal about pedophile priests, and frankly, in some dioceses, the fact that the archdiocese looked the other way. Why, the fact that people were so critical of Barack Obama and his relationship with Jeremiah Wright, why is there not an equal condemnation of Catholic politicians who don't repudiate or leave the church over behavior of the church?
Oh, I just think it's way different. I mean, yes, the Catholic Church has a lot of scandals to deal with. It's done terrible things. No one's accused Rudolph Giuliani of approving of that kind of behavior. Leaving the church might not be the best way to do it. Stay and fight. You know, there's a lot of ways you can react to all of that. It's a fundamentally different. It's apples and oranges. In the case of United Trinity and Jeremiah Wright's church, I mean, that's a very particular, you know, black liberation theology church. It's not even the entire black church by any means. It's a very specific melding of black power politics and Christianity that was started in the late 1960s. Perfectly fine. I have no idea, you know, no problem with people worshiping in that church if that's what they believe. But it raises all kinds of problems and difficulties when that comes out as something that is part of your idea of what Christianity is. It's going to serve a lot of white people, and that's why the thing began.
Well, and Ron Walters, we're at a minute away. Sean, we're going to fix your phone, so we're going to put you on hold.
Okay, very good.
Because I want to hear not just every other word, but
okay.
Every word that you say. So hold on, we're going to fix your phone. But I want you, Ron Walters, if you would, just, we have a minute before our first break, but if you could respond to what Sean Wilentz just said.
Well, I'm in no position, as Sean Wilentz apparently thinks he is, to evaluate someone else's church. To the extent that he considers that it is a particular church, I don't know what he means about that. To some people, the Catholic Church is a particular church. And so I think I will absent myself from that kind of evaluation. I was in on Monday. There were 400 black preachers at a church in Shiloh supporting Reverend Wright. And this thing has touched the third rail of American black culture. Regardless of whether or not black liberation theology is involved, because of the way it happened, any black preacher now feels that they're vulnerable to having their sermons excerpted and then thrown into an adversarial process called a campaign. And that is what they were responding to. That was what they considered not just an attack by Reverend Wright or on Reverend Wright, but attack on the black church itself.
Let's take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation. Much more to talk about. I would like to actually shift gears after we come back after this break. It's our weekly discussion about politics and the race to the White House. Ron Walters and Sean Wilentz are our guests. Calls coming into 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. Well, it's the final day of the spring membership drive here at WHYY 91 FM. Have you made your pledge of support at 1-888-345-9499? That's 1-888-345-WHYY. We are working off a challenge from the Independence Foundation, and we want to meet that challenge. And if we do, we will get $10,000 from the Independence Foundation, and we thank them for that. Every Friday this year, we talk about politics, the race to the White House, to keep you informed about what is going on, whether it's among the Democrats or certainly within the Republican Party as well. The issues, the news, the horse race, all of that is there and here for you to discuss. That's certainly worth a pledge of support right now at 1-888-345-9499. We do what we can on Radio Times to keep you informed about the complicated world that we live in. Make a pledge, 1-888-345-9499. Pledge online, whyy.org. Thanks.
The Philadelphia Museum of Art supports WHYY and takes on a new look and sound with Art After Five, a blend of jazz and international entertainment every Friday night. This Friday, Miro Dance Theater premieres an original living performance sculpture commissioned by Art After Five, using imagery and themes inspired by Frida Kahlo's paintings. Light fare, cocktails, and guided tours are available. Details online at fellowmuseum.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking with Ron Walters. He's a professor, political science director of the African American Leadership Institute at the University of Maryland. He says he's leaning towards Barack Obama. Also with us is Sean Wilentz, professor of history at Princeton University, contributing editor to The New Republic and a supporter of Hillary Clinton. We've got just one open line at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Sean Wilentz, let me just ask you one thing, and I do want to move on, but it's something that I've been thinking about and struggling about and trying to understand candidates and their, I would say, complicated adult relationships with people in their lives. And I'm thinking about Barack Obama and his relationship, of course, with his pastor. But I'm also thinking about the complicated relationship between Bill and Hillary Clinton. If you're going to raise criticisms about Barack Obama's relationship with his pastor, you could also question, you know, why did she stay with Bill Bill Clinton? What did he do, you know, to hurt the country, to hurt the party, to hurt the marriage? That once you open it up for Reverend Wright, you're going to open it up for someone like that. Does that make any sense to you?
No.
Why not?
Well, because one's about a marriage, you know, essentially about a marriage. And, the whole thing, I think, appalled the American people. It did appall the American people in the end. And Republican Party and the independent prosecutor basically went after his sex life, found a way to do so, and put his marriage, the difficulties of his marriage, in public view. I do think that presidents are human beings. Everyone's a human being, and there's nothing particularly to do with politics. One could talk about their public relationship, and I think she's addressed those issues quite directly. But I don't think that the relationship between a man and a wife is the same thing as the kind of spiritual relationship between a pastor and a congregant.
What do you think, Ron Walters?
Nevertheless, it did happen in a political context. And it is a source of a lot of the high negatives, unfortunately, I think, because she's also, especially in the Democratic Party, was viewed as something of a heroine for having stayed with Bill and worked her way through many of those difficulties. But there isn't any question about it. She also attracted, I think, mainly conservative women, very high negatives for having stayed with him. So this is part of it. It happened in the political context, and it's part of what she has to live with in this campaign. And if she is a nominee, unfortunately, it's what some people will be voting against.
But do you think, and Ron Walters and Sean Wilentz, that, maybe this is the kind of political discussion that we're stuck with, and as many of these Democrats told the Pew Research Center for the People in the Press, they care about the economy, Iraq, healthcare, energy, and gas, but the political discourse is about people's relationships with each other. Ron Walters?
Well, I think that's right. I think that's the sad thing about this kind of discussion. Taking place around people's relationships and their associates and so forth, and not focus on the issues that the American people care about. I would hope that now that there's been some separation, for example, between Barack Obama and the Reverend Wright, that there is the space there to begin to deal again with many of these issues, because I think that Barack Obama has a lot to say to the American people. He's leading not just a campaign, but a movement. And I think that movement has the capacity really to change the course of American politics. And that's the sad thing. If the discussions of racism, associates, and things like that bring him down, then I think we would have lost a tremendous opportunity.
Sean Wilentz, what do you see as key issues, not just facing the Democratic Party and Democratic voters, but frankly the country?
Well, just before that, I mean, I think the economy is number one right now. I think people are hurting very, very much. And I think that is why, one of the reasons, in fact, why Hillary Clinton is doing so well with, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Why Hillary Clinton is doing so well with working people, because she does understand, or they think that she understands, something about how direct relief can be afforded to them in a way that she's concerned with their issues. But I do think the economy is important. I agree with Ron that it would be great to have the real issues out there. That's the debate that ought to be there. I do think, though, that precisely because people don't know Senator Obama as well, I mean, he's come out of nowhere, out of this movement with his great, almost a phenomenal kind of rise, that people do want to know something about, not just his character or his background or things like that, but something about his judgment.
Ron Walters, you want to add to that?
Well, I would say that that's true. But I think this is not all about him. The American people said as early as the election cycle of 2006 that they wanted change. And as a matter of fact, to prove it, they changed the Congress of the United States from Republican control to Democratic control. So that in a sense, this Barack Obama comes along as a leader of that and makes a campaign out of it. But this is not all about him, and I think that's what I meant by we would miss, I think, a tremendous opportunity. The American people are speaking through him, saying that they really do want a different political regime.
And do you see that, Sean Wilentz, as a repudiation of the Clintons?
No. Well, I mean, I see it as a repudiation of the Clintons by Barack's supporters, but I don't think the American people are speaking through him. I think his supporters are speaking through him, and he is speaking through his supporters. You know, it remains to be seen if that's going to be enough to get him the nomination, let alone when the election. There's going to be change next year, no matter what happens. Even if John McCain is elected, there's going to be a degree of change, although not as much as I'd like to see. But you know, the idea that Hillary Clinton does not represent change from what we've had for the last 7 years is to me self-evidently wrong. Now, there's an attempt to try and tie her to her own husband's administration. But you know what? Things weren't so bad in the 1990s. But we're not in the 1990s anymore. We're in the 21st century. We're solidly here. And the question is, does she have the kinds of programs, proposals, which especially on the economy, I think, which will convince people that she is the person best situated to lead the country forward.
Let me get some callers in the conversation. That's Sean Wilentz, professor of history at Princeton University. He is a supporter of Hillary Clinton. Also with us is Ron Walters, professor of political science and director of the African American Leadership Institute at the University of Maryland. He says he is leaning towards Barack Obama. And we've got a full bank of calls. And let's get Michael from Delaware to join us. Hi, Michael. Go ahead, your Radio Times.
Hi, yes. Hi there. I had a couple of points about what the people were talking about. First of all, I think that Hillary and Obama need to start taking the agenda away from the media and start talking about what's important in this election. They're letting the media dictate to them what they should be talking about. That's why Jeremiah Wright's getting all this airplay. And a perfect example of that is, a minor candidate or a third-party candidate like Ralph Nader, he's actually talking about issues. He does not let the media dictate to him what the agenda is. And Obama and Hillary are clearly allowing that to happen, and they also need to get away from these personal attacks because, in the end, they're not going to differentiate themselves from McCain in the general election, either one of them, and they're going to have the same kind of result Kerry did in 2004, which was have a lackluster campaign against a Republican candidate, and I think they would clearly lose in such an effort. They need to be more assertive in terms of the issues that people want to talk about.
Okay, Michael. No, thanks for calling into Radio Times, and we got a lot of callers. Ron Walters, his initial point was that he thinks these two candidates have let the media, in a sense, dictate the agenda. Agree? Disagree?
I agree, yes. I think when we look at the who created this mess, I think a lot of it was dictated by the media. And that's one of the reasons why in the black community in the last 72 hours, there's been a lot of discussion about which side, of course, is being privileged. There's a dawning concern that both sides really deserve our support. And the focus ought to be on the media that created it.
How do you see it, Sean Wilentz?
I agree with that completely. I'd like to see the media out of this as much as possible, beginning with the debates. I'd like, when Lincoln and Douglas debated in 1858, there was no media on stage. There was no Tim Russert asking questions. There was none of that kind of thing going on. The two candidates got up and had a debate about the issues, and the issue then was slavery, and it was the most powerful debate in American history. I think it'd be a great idea if the two candidates went up and without all of this rigmarole around them that the media create, get the media out of it and have a real honest debate about the issues. I think that would be fascinating, and I think the American people deserve that debate.
Well, and she has called for that debate.
She has. So it would be good to see it go forward, I think. But it would be a matter of getting the media out of there. And I don't think it's just because it's a political ploy. I think it's an actual way to see, to get American politics back to the core of American politics and away from all of this distraction.
And I guess the last debate in Philadelphia is a prime example of what you're talking about, where half of it was taken up with, you know, in essentially gotcha questions.
Well, it's not so much that. I just don't think, you know, I don't want to see these questions being filtered through any reporter. I'd like to see the candidates take control of the debate themselves. That's really the point.
Would you watch that, Ron Walters?
Well, I haven't.
I would.
I would. But I happen to believe that there were gotcha questions in the ABC debate. It took up 54 minutes of the first part of the debate. And so I think that, yes, we've got to watch the fact that debate really is, this debate between these candidates is being modulated by the media, and they are determining a lot in terms of the interpretation of what's going on to the American people.
And, I mean, but the, you know, the media must be fed, mustn't it, Ron Walters? I mean, the idea of, you know, the media just thrives on little tidbits of information these days.
I'm not too much concerned about it being fed. I think that's certainly true. I'm concerned about the interpretation of what's going on. And, you know, one of the problems I think we have is that there's not the kind of diversity in the media from the standpoint of perspectives that I think that there should be. When you look at what the commentators and analysts that have been propped up there on the network news have been saying about Reverend Wright, what you don't hear, what you didn't hear, what you're not going to hear, is the other side of it. Where are the commentators and the people who can hold up his side of it? They're not there. So you don't have the diversity in the media, and that's part of the reason why it's so dangerous.
Sean Williams, I'd be curious about how you see it, and then we'll get back to our callers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there isn't, I don't know if it's a question of diversity. I think that the journalists pack on to particular stories and sometimes blow them up. For example, a lot of the stories about Bill Clinton having made racist or subtly racist remarks has been accepted as absolutely true by the media, and it's been pumped out there by the media. And when you look at it closely, it's just not true. So, but it becomes a media story. It becomes part of a media narrative. They are in control in ways that were not true, say, 40 years ago.
Let me get Chuck from Philadelphia to join us. Chuck, go ahead. You're Radio Times.
Yeah. Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay. I just have a question about the way Hillary is running this campaign. Is she working with John McCain? Is she working with the Republicans or the Democrats?
Well,
the reason why I'm asking that is because she seems like she's buying every idea that John McCain is throwing on the table, including the stimulation packages, the gasoline tax rebate, and everything else. She's not only damaging the Democratic Party, but she's also damaging Obama in case Obama gets the nomination.
Well, Chuck,
I think she doesn't have any idea on her own. She's just buying whatever her husband is telling her and whatever she's taken up from the Republicans and come to the campaign and telling people what they want to hear.
Well, let me hold on, Chuck. Hold on. You put some stuff on the table, and that's good. That's what we want. Let me get Sean Willens to respond.
No, I respectfully disagree that Hillary Clinton's taking all her ideas from John McCain. If that was the case, she wouldn't even be running. Subprime mortgages, right away, one of the biggest problems going. John McCain has the basic Reagan-Bush line on how to do that, which is to do nothing but feed it through the market. Hillary Clinton is the only candidate who has called for that kind of moratorium on the predatory practices that have really been hurting people badly. On the question of the gas tax, yes, Hillary Clinton believes that, you know, Americans deserve a break today. But what she's also calling for is for the oil companies who have made out like bandits under Bush to put up their fair share with a windfall tax. So, you know, she wants to do things. She's a woman of action. She wants to address these problems. But the idea that she's getting these John McCain, or that she even agrees with John McCain about this stuff, I think is.
But on the other hand,
yeah, go ahead, Ron Walters.
The only candidate that wants to control predatory lending, and the gas tax, of course, has been looked at by reputable people and considered to be nothing that will help the American people. I have real questions about whether or not Hillary Clinton is going to propagate as much change, and I think the caller hit it right. It's not so much that she's taking ideas from John McCain, but it's these relationships that she's established with not just sort of Obama soft Republicans, but with hard right Republicans. I mean, being on Hannity and Combs, yes, and accepting money from Rupert Murdoch. I mean, how can you make the kind of change that the American people feel getting in bid with the radical right. I just don't see it.
But Obama was on Fox, Ronald.
He was on Fox. And I think that Hillary found that it was okay to go after he was on Fox. But he didn't go for a long, long time. But this association with Rupert Murdoch is troublesome because he is a very powerful engine on the radical right, has fueled a lot of the organizations that have damaged the Democratic Party in the last 2.5 years. So how she can get in bed with someone like that and accept money from him and say that at the same time she is for the kind of change that Barack Obama is for mystifies me.
Sean Malenz?
Rupert Murdoch supports a lot of different people. He hasn't given it to Barack Obama, true, but he came to her and said support, give her a certain amount of support because I think he thinks that she's going to win. That's the way a lot of these rich guys play it. It's not so much about politics, it's about business. That's what Rupert Murdoch is about. Do I like Rupert Murdoch's politics? No. Do I like the fact that he's running as the Wall Street Journal and so much else? No. I don't think the fact that he said that he's betting on Hillary Clinton presidency one item.
Well, you know what, Sean? For whatever reason, and I know you're just up in Princeton, it feels like you're halfway around the world.
Oh, I'm so sorry about this.
I know. I just know if you wouldn't mind just like yelling into your phone.
Okay, I'll yell even more.
I think that might help.
All right.
Ron Walters, interestingly, I mean, I think both of these candidates have gone to Fox in the last week or so, and part of that, I think, is appealing to these blue collar, you know, working class, perhaps white voters. Do you see it that way?
I do see it that way, but Barack Obama hasn't taken the other step and accepted money from Rupert Murdoch or any of these other sort of radical right titans. So I think that, again, this puts a tremendous question in my mind about how much change. If you're sitting in the White House and Rupert Murdoch calls up and he's put a lot of money in your campaign, I mean, you're going to put down the phone? I don't know.
Hmm.
It's a way. He's got a problem with blue-collar workers, the so-called Reagan Democrats. But I think the way to deal with that is the way he's trying to do it in Indiana, standing at gas stations, trying to talk about what's happening there in terms of an energy policy that makes sense. Going into homes and trying to roll up his sleeves and be a person to relate to people who don't know him. So I think that that's the way to deal with it, not to sort of use as a resource the people who have been downing the Democratic Party for all this time.
Very quickly, Sean Willis, we're almost up on a break here.
You go on Fox News, you go anywhere you can in a campaign. I mean, I don't see there's any problem with that. They're there. I know they're not my politics, but you go on wherever you can get your message out, however you can get your message out. So I have no problem.
Let's take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation with our guests. And it is our weekly conversation about presidential politics, national politics, the race to the White House. Sean Malenz is a professor of history at Princeton University, a contributing editor to The New Republic, also a supporter of Hillary Clinton. He's got a new book called The Age of Reagan. It will be published next week. Ron Walters is a professor of political science, director of the African American Leadership Institute at the University of Maryland, leaning towards Barack Obama. And his most recent book is Freedom is Not Enough, Black Voters, Black Candidates, and American Presidential Politics. Much more to talk about. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Morris Arboretum presents its annual plant sale May 10th and 11th, featuring a selection of rare plants for the garden. Located in Chestnut Hill. Details available at morrisarboretum.org. Morris Arboretum supports WHYY.
Well, it's the final day of the spring membership drive here at WHYY 91 FM. Have you made your pledge of support at 1-888-345-9499? That's 1-888-345-WHYY. We are working off a challenge from the Independence Foundation, and we want to meet that challenge. And if we do, we will get $10,000 from the Independence Foundation, and we thank them for that. Every Friday this year, we talk about politics, the race to the White House, to keep you informed about what is going on, whether it's among the Democrats or certainly within the Republican Party as well. The issues, the news, the horse race, all of that is there and here for you to discuss. That's certainly worth a pledge of support right now at 1-888-345-9499. We do what we can on Radio Times to keep you informed about the complicated world that we live in. Make a pledge, 1-888-345-9499. Pledge online, whyy.org. Thanks.
Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa supports WHYY and presents comedian Bill Maher in concert Saturday, May 31st at 8 p.m. Bill Maher at Borgata's Event Center in Atlantic City, 866-904-TIX or theborgata.com.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane talking about election politics today on the show, as we do Fridays at 10. Check out our website, whyy.org. There's all sorts of political and campaign information there. Also go to whyy.org/Radio Times. We've had many conversations about the horse race, but we've also talked about real issues. And just this week, we talked about the role of the United States in negotiating a Israeli-Palestinian peace. We talked about the global food crisis, the GI Bill, and the gas tax. Those are all things that you can listen to online at whyy.org. Let me play a clip from this morning's, morning edition. Former DNC chairman appointed by Bill Clinton and a superdelegate, Joe Andrews, switching his support from Clinton to Obama. And here's some of what he said.
Back in 1992, I got inspired by a guy named Bill Clinton because he represented hope and not our fears. Because he rearticulated a new way to look at politics in the Democratic Party. And I think the simple fact is that the Bill Clinton of 1992, is the Barack Obama of 2008.
And that, again, was on this morning's morning edition, Joe Andrews talking to one of the hosts about why he switched his support from Bill Clinton to Barack Obama. To you, Sean Wilentz, is this, in the final analysis, just all about superdelegate and delegate math?
Well, I mean, I think that neither candidate will be able to get the nomination without getting a majority of the superdelegates. That's just a fact. I mean, when you come to the end of the line, when all the primaries are done, neither will have enough elected delegates to win the nomination. That's the system. So, yes, in that sense, it's true. Where the superdelegates will go, I mean, there's been a trickle here and there, a little bit. The media likes to make a lot of, well, she got two today, he got three today, mm-hmm. he's in the lead, and that's mm-hmm. the horse race part. I think that most of the superdelegates are waiting to see the process run its course and will make their decision when that course has been run. It may not be as early as some people would like, but I think that there's a real question on the part of these people, superdelegates, who are, elected officials, real politicians, if you will. On their mind are two things. Are they reflecting the will of the party in some way? And that's very hard to determine because it's a very close race right now. Obama's in the lead, but it's a very neck-and-neck race. But secondly, are we going to be able to beat the Republicans? And they have to ask themselves both of those questions, and there's still some more evidence that has yet to come in.
Do you see this all about superdelegates, Ron Walters, in the final analysis?
Yes, because I don't see any way that statistically Hillary Clinton can take over Barack Obama in these last remaining primaries. But he's ahead in every one of the categories, most primaries, most popular vote, et cetera, et cetera. Most delegates pledged. So that the superdelegates are the ones going to make the difference here. And I agree that they are hard-bitten politicians. Mm-hmm. They're going to pay a lot of attention to this issue of how where they stand. I mean, because you've got a lot of people who are going to be running for office in the fall, and they want to be connected politically to a winner. Or somebody who looks like he's going to win. So I think that also this is a group that's not going to pay much attention to the noise that we hear right now, which is one of the reasons why when a lot of this stuff broke out about Reverend Wright, Barack Obama did his best in terms of the momentum. I think he's come down some right now in terms of the polling. But I would fully expect that the superdelegates are not paying a lot of attention to this.
But what's interesting, I don't want to belabor this too much and sound like, you know, a bona fide member of the media, but nonetheless, and I'm back to you, Sean Wilentz, it is interesting, and this is just looking at trends, that as Hillary Clinton has made some inroads into Barack Obama's lead, you do see the sort of drip, drip, drip of superdelegates going in his direction, not hers.
But it's a drip, and, you know, wait and see what happens. I think the most important thing with superdelegates, the most important bottom line, is winning. And I mean winning simply in November, but the votes are in the primaries now. Things began to look a little different. I mean, 2 weeks ago, everybody was saying Hillary Clinton ought to drop out of the race. Then something happened in your home state.
That's right.
And things began to look different. And what happened was the voters voted, the votes were counted, and you saw the margin. That, to a hard-bitten politician, that is the bottom line. Who wins and who loses?
And she won by about 200,000 votes in Pennsylvania.
She won by a lot. And, you know, the question of who's going to have the most popular votes at the end of this, I think, is not so cut and dried as maybe Ron does. I think that a lot depends on what happens with Florida, a lot happens with Michigan, but, you know, and a lot depends on what happens with the primaries coming up, you know, in West Virginia and in Indiana. You know, it's very, very close. It's unclear to me which I couldn't predict right now which is going to be more. But it's still very, very close. And that's the decision that this has happened before in American history, by the way, where you have close elections, decisions. Ronald Reagan went all the way to the convention in 1976. He nearly won the nomination in 1976. So, you know, this is going to be done in the end, decided on the basis, I think, of which person, which candidate seems to be doing the best with the voters and has the most, has the greatest claim in terms of the electoral map, not just the popular vote map, the electoral map as it shapes up at convention time.
But you're also saying, Sean, that the answer to that question really won't be evident until the summer.
That's correct.
Okay. Let me get some more callers back in on the conversation. We've got Maddie from Center City, Philadelphia, joining us. Hi, Maddie. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Your guest, Mr. Walters, said earlier that repeatedly that Barack Obama is the only agent of change, and another caller said that Hillary Clinton is borrowing all her ideas from John McCain. And both those things are really not true, because I think that, first of all, Hillary Clinton is obviously an agent of change. She'd be the first woman ever in the history of the United States, which is rather dramatic. But the other thing is that, you know, Barack Obama's been on Fox News. He said he was going on to take them on. He not only didn't take them on, but he talked repeatedly about Ronald Reagan in his interview with Chris Wallace, and then his campaign had to do damage control around that. And then the other issue is, how is he an agent of change when he's voting for the Bush-Cheney energy bill and the Patriot Act and you know, ran on being against the war, but in fact has voted consistently to support all the war funding?
Well, Maddie, let me toss your questions to Ron Walters. Ron, go ahead.
Well, I think the last part of it is easy. I mean, when you have a certain formula which says that if you don't support the war funding, then you're viewed as unpatriotic. This is the thing that drove most Democrats to vote for it, not just Barack Obama, because they would have been vulnerable politically. But I don't want to be misquoted. I did not say that Barack Obama was the only agent of change. The argument I tried to make was that he was more of an agent of change than someone who was in the pocket of Rupert Murdoch. And yes, he talked about Ronald Reagan, except that he didn't extol Ronald Reagan for the sake of it. What he was trying to make was the point that Ronald Reagan initiated a political era change in American politics, which is true. And he said that Bill Clinton didn't, and that is true. And that today we have an opportunity to turn the corner and make another era-changing move in American politics, and that is true.
And Sean Wilentz, you've written a whole brand new book about Ronald Reagan. Do you want to comment on that?
Yes, the Ronald Reagan era is over. It's going to end this year. No matter who wins the election, it's going to end this year. You know, and you can read my book to find out.
Shameless plug.
I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
Rhetorical trick, but I do think that the new era that's going to come out of this, we're not sure what it's going to be like. And what kind of change the country wants, what kind of change the country is going to endorse. I think that the word change, you have to get beyond. You have to see what, in fact, is being proposed, what, in fact, is there. And on a lot of issues, healthcare, for example, is a good one. The question of the subprime and how to deal with the subprime. On those issues, I think that Hillary Clinton proposes a lot more change that would be good for the kinds of working people that are flocking to her these days than Barack Obama does.
Anything you want to add to that, Ron? Then we'll get back to our callers.
I think that there is a perception of that, that in the healthcare area that Hillary Clinton offers more change. But I think that in many other areas having to do with the war, for example, there's still this very substantial difference in terms of foreign policy between the two of them. He offers more change. And I think that's important because we're spending most of our money there right now. And unless you have somebody who makes fundamental change in that arena, you're not going to have the funds to do all these other great things that they're talking about. Final thing I say is that Jean talked about a drip of superdelegates. Mm-hmm. When you look at the last 2 months, this has not been a drip. This has been nearly 70 superdelegates coming to Barack Obama's side, only 10 Hillary Clinton.
Let me get back to our callers. Maddie, thanks for the call. We've got Barbara now from Princeton. Go ahead, your Radio Times.
Yes, hi. I'm calling because I heard the comments regarding Rupert Murdoch and Mrs. Hillary Clinton. There was an article that I saw recently in the New York Times dated, I believe, April 2nd, 2008, mm-hmm. Which basically described how Mrs. Elizabeth Murdoch, who is Murdoch's daughter, was, you know, fundraising for Obama and, you know, also sort of showing disassociation between Murdoch and Clinton in general. So I just wanted to add that to the discussion and trying to see what the people invited on your show today had to say about that, because it kind of seems to show to me that there is more balance that has been conveyed in that discussion, in the sense that, you know, both campaigns are taking donations from this influential family.
Oh, fair enough. Barbara, thanks for the call to Radio Times. I think that was your point, Ron Walters.
It was my point. And as far as I know, there's no evidence that the Murdoch family is contributing to his campaign.
And so you're saying it's looking at the sort of industry of Murdoch?
Well, yes. I don't understand what you mean.
I mean, the kind of influence that Murdoch name has, and I guess the kind of, because he owns so much of the media, the influence that you get from that as well.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, and that's Ron Walters, also with us, Sean Wilentz, and we are talking about politics, the race for the White House today on Radio Times, something we do every Friday from 10 until 11. I'm Marty Moscoen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY-FM in Philadelphia.
And good morning. I am Susan Greenbaum here with my colleague Susan Palenko. We're reminding you that, we got a challenge going on, and the Independence Foundation has graciously offered WHYY $10,000 if we hear from 350 listeners during the Radio Times over the course of this spring membership drive. Hoping you'll take a moment to give us a call at 1-888-345-9499, WHYY.org. Susan and I should tell everybody that we're getting there.
We're getting close.
But we have some work to do. Again, right. That number is 1-888-345-9499. And we're also hoping you've enjoyed listening to Radio Times every day, particularly today. We've devoted every Friday from 10 to 11 during this election season to coverage of national politics. And Susan, you were just saying you were listening to this show, and it was a particularly good one.
I think it's a very good show. I've been very interested, and I really do appreciate that every Friday you guys do dedicate the first hour from 10 to 11 to the national political scene.
So much to talk about.
There's so much information. You inform me, you educate me, and you bring up a lot of good points. And the great thing about Radio Times that I love is that you lay it all out there, but you don't tell people what to think.
Nope.
You just kind of lay it all out there, and it's kind of up to you to decide.
But we also give our listeners a chance to interact
yes.
with our guests,
yes.
which requires a different kind of phone call than we're asking for right now.
Yeah.
Now we're asking for a different kind of interaction. If you appreciate the kinds of things Susan's just talked about as you listen to Radio Times, hoping you'll show your support for Marty and what she does day in and day out.
And just think about how much energy and effort and just talent it takes to do what she does, because Marty not only is a master in the way that she interviews people and draws them out, but she's also a master in the way she can switch from one topic
yep.
to another on a dime.
On a dime.
And she's...
speaking
is just
of a
amazing.
Dime.
Speaking of a dime, we would like you to give a call and share your support. support for the talents of Marty Mosquin and the staff here at Radio Times. 1-888-345-9499. With that challenge from the Independence Foundation, they wanted us to get 350 calls during the block of Radio Times this week in our member campaign, our spring member campaign. Now, I know there are way more than 350 people listening. And I know that Marty Mosquin on a regular basis reaches way more than 350
people. I think we get 350 emails a week.
Probably, just perhaps even in a day. You just never know. So we know that Marty's reach is long and wide and deep, and we know a lot of people listen to Radio Times. They're very much entertained, informed, and educated by Radio Times. Give a show of support, 1-888-345-9499.
Speaking about making switches, in hour two of Radio Times today, we're going to be talking about memory in the brain, something that fascinates us. 1-888-345-9499-WHYY.org. That's the place to pledge online. You know, every Friday after our show, the staff of Radio Times and Marty sits down and we go through our week. And sometimes we're just exhausted thinking about it. You've been going over some of our topics this week, and it's been a good week at Radio Times.
It's been an excellent week. You started off Monday with the "Is peace possible between Israel and Palestinians?"
Ooh.
That was just 1 hour, and then in hour two, you talked about what it's like to be on an aircraft carrier.
That was a good show.
And that program Carrier now is on PBS on TV12, so that's a great way to get into the topic.
We talked about the global food crisis.
Yes, you did. And you also had Mickey Edwards, and Marty talked to him. That
was a really interesting conversation.
It was very interesting because he wrote this book called Reclaiming Conservatism.
Yep, it was really interesting.
It was very compelling, and that's what I love about Radio Times is it gives voice to a multitude of opinions, and it just lays it out there, and you independently can decide where you stand on the issues, and that's why I'm a better educated person for listening to Radio Times.
1-888-345-9499. WHYY.org. That's the place to pledge online. It is the end of our May membership drive. Hoping you'll take a moment to show your support for Radio Times. Maybe you've listened all week long. Well, now's the time to show your appreciation and show your support for public broadcasting in particular. 1-888-345-9499. WHYY.org. Marty is somewhat of a legend here in Philadelphia.
Oh,
she's
absolutely
been on the air for over 20 years. People value her, they respect her, and we're hoping you show your respect for what is going on here, this grand experiment of public broadcasting. Give us a call, 1-888-345-9499-WHYY.org. And we should mention $50 is the basic membership level.
Yep.
Should you choose to become a member at the $50 level and put your pledge on a credit card, you can also ask for and get a year subscription to Newsweek magazine.
Yes, you can. And at the $75 level, you can get the Echo Fabulous WHYY Canvas grocery bag that says think globally, listen locally, WHYY 91 FM. And Radio Times is part of that local, that listening locally.
That's a pledge online.
That was an online pledge. And you can get a set of four of those Canvas grocery